Praise the Lord. I do have the guest lapel on, although foghorn leghorn say, I ain't no chicken. I ain't no guest. And this is home. Glad to be home. Glad to be here at Maranatha. Glad to be with you. And it's just a joy. And definitely a privilege to stand behind the pulpit and to share from God's Word. If you go ahead and open your Bibles to John chapter 2, and while you're doing so, I want to say thank you for all those that prayed for me this week. Thank you. Whatever that was that I had, the doctor said it was just a big sinus infection that just gave me one massive headache, and I gave Kelly one too. I'm a big baby when things like that happen. But she takes good care of me, and thank you folks for praying for me. And kind words, and it's good to have strength back, energy back, to be back serving the Lord with you. Praise the Lord. Well, you see your little notes there, if you have them in front of you. I'm talking about six old water pots. And it's just a thought from this passage of Scripture. And John chapter 2, verse number 1, and I'm going to read down to verse number 11. And the Bible says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana, of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Her name was, quiz, Mary, yes. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And his mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I say that's good advice anytime. Amen. If Jesus says something unto you, do it. And so it goes on and says, verse 6, And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying for the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And when they bear it, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water, that it was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." We're going to talk about some six old water pots tonight. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We praise you for your holy name, and thank you, dear Lord. The songs tonight, the singing group, the quartet, talking about sailing home, all about heaven. And Lord, heaven is that wonderful place, dear Lord, that we are looking to go to in our final rest. But Lord, help us as we live here, as we strive to serve here, and doing, dear Lord, your service. Lord, we love you. Bless thou this servant tonight. Lord, we praise you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, as an introduction here, this moment here that's happening in the passage of Scripture is Jesus was in the land of Canaan, and it was the third day, and there was a wedding. And I call this the not-so-perfect wedding in Cana. It wasn't so perfect. You know, every bride, and of course, bride's mother, wants to have the perfect wedding for their daughter, the perfect one. And the bridegroom, he's kind of tossed in there with it as it goes along. Is that right? I mean, he usually in the cases, the bridegroom is along the line, honey, what colors would you like? Honey, what shall I wear? Honey, it's her special day. Is that right? Is it the bride's special day at her wedding? Special day. And so this was a very special day for the bride and the families. Even special guests had come. There was even a governor over the wedding. Very traditional wedding. They would always have a special guest come, and that special guest sat at that special seat to oversee the whole feast that was going on. course, we see that something happened here. Something happened. They were running out of grape juice. Is that right? Grape juice. They're running out of the new wine. The new wine, wine was, in the Bible times, predominantly that which was the fresh squeezed juice from fruit. And here the wine, we're just going to, for the sake, stay with that of grape juice. And the grape juice would be given the best at the beginning. And as the festivities would go along and things were starting to get a little short, once you measured how much everybody is needing to have, they would start adding water to it, thinning it out a little bit. But the taste is already in their mouth, so it was okay as it kind of tapered off. And the governor gives us that instruction. But something happened here, and they were calling. Everybody was there. Jesus was there. They were at the wedding. And so all this is happening. So not only was this not the not-so-perfect wedding in Cana, there was also a great plight in the family. The great plight in the family. They didn't know who to go to. But obviously Mary had some kind of connection with the family. One, she was invited there. But number two, now she's in the know. You know, the whole thing is, you know, if you mess up, don't tell anybody. Nobody will know it. You ever knew that? When we sing, we're up here. That's one number one instruction. If you mess up on the words, whatever, don't tell anybody because nobody will ever know that. I was singing in a trio one time and I got to the third verse and my mind just went gone. For some reason, we had no notes. Not for me, is a no-no. I had no notes. And so it came to the third verse. It was okay. We were singing together. I was listening to them. I got all my notes, got all my words, and come down to the words for the third verse, and it was nothing there. So what'd you do? I made up a whole third verse. It even rhymed a little bit and even made just a little bit of understanding, and I even got some amens out of it. And at the end, some folks said, I never knew that verse was there. Now, I was supposed to do halfway through the verse a duet with the tenor. He just went, He had no idea where I was going. And then we went and sing. So you don't, okay, so in a family situation like this, you don't tell the guests that, sorry, folks, we're out of wine. You just don't do that. The family had a major plight going on, and Mary was in the know. She had to been connected with that family. So who does she go to? The one that she knows that can fix it. Can I tell you something? When we have a plight that we're in, there's one that we can go to that can fix it. His name is Jesus. And so she runs to him and says, hey, there's a problem. They have no wine. And Jesus responds to her and says, it's not my hour. And then I'm sure Mary gave Jesus the look. You know how moms give the look? And she turns over to the servants and says to the servants, do what he says. Do what he says. So then we have the thing. So the prayer of a mother, Mary prays. And so that, you know, in the introduction to my last little sub point here, the presence of the water pots. The presence of the water pots. And so we see there that there are six water pots. They're sitting there and Jesus references to them. He tells the servants what to do with them, fill them with water and just give out. But there's something special about these six stone water pots. Now, as preachers, we go into our commentaries and we try to find something historically connected to that. And can I tell you something? There's some really big stuff written about these six water pots. And some of that I'm kind of like, does that really pertain? No, it doesn't pertain to that. I mean, they talked about, you know, a little bit of this and dispensations and dates that are connected to it that were practical to when was the stone time of the pots. Didn't they have wooden pots? Yes, they did have wooden pots. But these pots here had a specific purpose. It says that they were there for the purification, they're for the Jews. Now, the Jews had many laws. And someone flowed on over that this was a historical Old Testament law that the Jews had to have during a historical time. Well, it doesn't really tell us that it was a historical time going on, but they did have laws in regards to washing, laws to being clean. So I can see they didn't have running water back in Bible times. Some folks did out back called the creek, like we have, and they would go out to the creek and get some water. Jerusalem actually did have a little bit of a water system going on. Rome definitely had a water system going on in history. But the typical home would have water pots. They would just have these pots sitting there. And so for whatever they were the reason they were there, whatever their the purpose were for, but they were there. They were noticeable. Everybody could see them. And probably in every house, somebody had some kind of item in order to hold the water for the family. Now, they had different types of vessels, different types of water pots that are out there. They had some that were of clay, some that were of wood, some that were even of brass and metal. But someone would get this big old thing and they would hone it out and make a big old pot out of it. Can you imagine how much a pot that would hold, as it would estimate, it gave out into this firkin number. Draw and give it the feast, and the feast, It was 3 firkins, F-I-R-K-I-N's, a piece. A firkin, when it mass balanced out, came to be somewhere between 25 and 35 gallons of water. So let's take this stone pot that could even hold 35 to 45 gallons of water. I thought about bringing one of our large trash cans out here. Okay, you remember, can you picture our large trash cans? Can you picture, now you know how heavy that is. Can you picture that being made of stone? How heavy that is? We've got these urns out front. They're made out of concrete. They're very heavy to move, but they're only so big. Can you imagine something so big? Can you imagine something that's holding 20 to 30, 40, 35 gallons to 45 gallons worth of water? Water is at 8 pounds per gallon. Do the math. We're talking a lot of poundage per thing. So that's why he would say, don't pour out. I can't imagine them pouring out that water, but to draw out. So there's something about those old water pots. They're sitting there. And so he sits there and he sees the water pots. Because water pots were used for many different things, as I mentioned. But vessels were used for many different things. In John chapter 13, verse 4 and 5, we find Jesus in the upper room. And he rises up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after he poureth water into a basin. A basin is a vessel. We find other vessels throughout Scripture as God has used them for many different things. Even some that were made out of leather skins. The flask, the wine flask that was used was a wine skin. And so they're all different shapes. Vessels are all different sizes. And they hold all kind of different things. And so one thing that I do want to point out in regards to all these big old studies out there, in regards to these 6 water pots, I do want to bring one simple thing and to boil it to us. You see, there are 6 water pots. Throughout Scripture, God has used numbers for many different things. 7, the number of completion. You know that? And the number 6 is for the number of man. And so just think along the lines. Jesus is teaching us a story. You think it was just a coincidence that they had 6 water pots there? Nothing's ever a coincidence in the Bible that we know about. So there is a connection. And God wants to use those vessels as just like God wants to use you as a vessel. And as I just quickly described, vessels come in many different shapes and sizes. We're different colors, we're different textures, but we all are to hold something and to do something. And so tonight I want to talk about this comparison of these 6 water pots, the number 6, with you and with me. So number 1, water pots that have been set apart. Water pots that have been set apart. We find it there in verse number 6. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Thus the weight difference. And so it had a purpose. It was set apart. They didn't take it outside to wash the car, or shall I say, wash the chariot with it, because it was not moving. It was about 500 pounds worth of containment there. And so, it was something that was a part of the house, so I'm sure there was something that was quite decorative. It wasn't a wooden one. Because wooden ones that are used for ceremonial purposes, after they're done with that ceremonial purpose, had to be destroyed. But the stone ones could stay. And so they were set for a specific purpose and set apart for a specific reason. First, 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to read this to you, just a little bit about vessels. God has quite a bit to say in the scriptures about vessels. And that we are vessels. We are old water pots. Just some old water pots. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." It was a vessel set apart. And we're vessels set apart. The first one I want you to see there, it was a chosen vessel. A chosen vessel. It had a specific purpose. It was set aside for the purification of the Jews and for the household water. It had a specific purpose. But we also have a specific purpose. We find in Acts chapter 9, verse 13, all the way down to verse 16. This is where Ananias, the prophet, was sent by the Lord to go get to see this man named Saul. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chiefs to bind all that call on thy name. For the Lord said unto him," Ananias, "go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I shall show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." God had a calling upon this vessel named Saul, whose name was later changed to Paul, who changed the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One vessel, just one vessel, and you are a vessel, a chosen vessel. A chosen vessel for him. As a born-again child of God, you are his vessel. You are his family. You are in that family of God. He has a purpose for you. He has a set-apart thing for you to do. Because you're a chosen vessel. Number two, a sanctified vessel. A sanctified vessel. As we saw at the wedding, these were sanctified for the purifying of the Jews. Purifying of the Jews. We find there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, there was vessels that were set unto honor. It was set apart. It was sanctified. It had a specific purpose. But it was not only a specific purpose, but some vessels are given completely over to God. They're sanctified. They're given unto his purpose. Not just any purpose, but for a specific one. For God. So a sanctified vessel. Oh, but we also have to see that we get dirty vessels. A dirty vessel. This is what we should never be as a child of God. A dirty vessel. If I'm home by myself for any length of time, there's many of those dirty vessels lying around. But when I know Miss Kelly's coming home, those vessels get cleaned really quick. Unless I'm sick. And then the headache really begins. But a dirty vessel. The dirty vessel represents a life characterized by sin. Sin that we have in our heart. Sin that we're harboring from God. Sin that God's forgiven, but now it's not preventing us from being that vessel for God. But what it is preventing us from doing is being that right vessel and serving him. God's not going to give into you something that has got some garbage in it. We got to clean it out. Would you put good food into a dirty vessel? Would you put good good steak, or good beef, good pork roast, and to, you know, an old pot that you had sitting out there from last week's cooking with egg and other stuff in it? No, you're going to clean it up. And God wants us to not be a dirty vessel, but a clean vessel unto our heart, and not harboring these sins, but getting them up front and getting them washed out. 1 John 5:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, here's the next one, a cracked vessel. Yes, it's kind of right up there with a crack pot, okay? A cracked vessel. A cracked vessel. A cracked vessel leaks. A cracked vessel will let in contaminants. A cracked vessel is not holding everything purely. It's just kind of getting out there. Well, God wants things to be just so. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. A crack pot just kind of, the things just ooze out of it. And usually in that case, it's not a good thing that's coming out. So a cracked vessel. But the next step of a cracked vessel is a broken vessel. A broken vessel. We find through Corinthians, Apostle Paul compared men to earthen vessels and how their lives have easily been very fragile and easily chipped and cracked and only temporary. But God doesn't want us just to be something that is brittle. God wants us to be something that is solid. God wants us to be something that is true, a broken vessel. Now, things happen in our life that can chip away at us, things that happen that can work on breaking us down. But can tell you something, God is not trying to chip you down. God's not trying to break you down. God's trying to build you up. God's trying to make you clean. God's trying to make you whole. God's trying to get you to be pure. God's trying to help to get that sin that's in you out. It takes in order for us to see it. Yes, I'm doing wrong. No wonder this is happening to me. No wonder God's hand of blessing has been removed. No wonder he's not letting more stuff, new stuff, fresh stuff be placed in me if I've got things that are there that aren't meant to be there. A broken vessel. But God wants to use us. I found this quote from a preacher of old named Vance Havner. Vance Havner said, God uses broken things. It takes broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread to give strength, the broken alabaster box that gives forth perfume. It is Peter weeping bitterly who returns to greater power than ever from that moment of breaking when the rooster crowed. God wants to use us. Well, I'm already broken. Hey, there's no broken pot that God can't fix when the potter puts you back on the wheel and makes you whole. So where does it start? Where does it start being a vessel for God? It starts when we set apart the water pot for God. Then, number two, water pots that are empty. God wants to use water pots that are empty. Before one can be filled, one must first needs to be empty. Empty. Empty of self. Empty of pride. Empty of unconfessed sin. He turns to the servants, Jesus, and he looks over at the vessels and he says unto them, fill them with water. Fill them up. Fill them all up. Whatever's in there. I'm sure the servant said, well, if that's what he wants us to do, he filled them up. God wants to fill you up and make you whole. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you. Not the old mind, a new mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. A well-known passage. How Jesus came as a vessel, leaving the portals of heaven to take on the vessel of a human man. We have our faults and failures. But can I tell you something? Even though this flesh has faults and failures, Jesus never had faults and failures. He is God. That was a pure vessel, a holy vessel, a vessel of God set aside, set for a specific purpose. That purpose was for the role of serving and giving and sharing and then dying, so that we can all be made new. That sacrificial giving. He has given himself. He wants us to learn, to grow. It is good when we look at a passage and it teaches us about how we should ourselves have our own emptiness. And it's not a bad thing to be in the realm of emptiness. I find when I am at the least amount of anything, it's there that Jesus starts doing something. It's when I have the most that I feel like, I don't even think, but we ought to thank Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. For without you, we'd have nothing. Our roof over our head, we cannot get to the place that we neglect praise unto the Lord for giving us a roof over our head. For without him, we'd not have one. He's given. So when we're down, God wants us to be clean. We think, but we have nothing. God says, just wait. It's all coming. It's all coming. So number three, so what happens next when we're empty? The water pots are filled. Verse number 7, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. I like that. They filled them up to the brim. They took them all the way out. Have you ever just kind of played with water a little bit? Or maybe you fooled around with somebody and was just pulling a joke on them and you gave them a glass of water and it was right there at that rim and just a little bit above. That water has that tension still in it from being in there, and there's that little bubble going all the way around. You know, that's what God wants to do for us. God wants to fill us, but he doesn't just want to give you just a little bit. God wants to give you a lot. He wants to give you a lot to where you're full of the Lord. You're full of him. You're full of the Holy Spirit of God. John 7:37, it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. My friend, Jesus has been glorified. He's risen from the dead. The Holy Spirit has come and is indwelling us and wants to fill us to where we are overflowing like rivers of water that flow and flow and flow. When's the last time you flowed for Jesus? When's the last time you were able to give out for the Lord because the Lord had filled you up? Have you had that moment? Maybe at an altar when you talk to God. You're in the Bible. You're praying and asking God to give you something. And at that moment, that peace came, that overwhelming peace. And he filled you up and you knew that everything was going to be just fine. And you had no problem going out and telling somebody all about it. How about when God met that need in your life? It filled you up. How about when you got saved? How about when you got Christ in your heart? And you believed in him and you accept him and you knew that all had been forgiven and you knew that you were saved. Did you hide it? Or did you let it fill up your pot and it overflowed like a river of water? I'm saved, saved, saved. I'm happy on my way. I'm saved, saved. Get the idea? That's being filled. The water pots that are filled. God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, whereas is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for being filled by the Holy Spirit changes you from the inside out. There's something different about you. What is it?
I don't know. It may be Jesus.
Well, what do you mean?
It may be Jesus.
Well, we're having revival coming up real soon, and I'm already praying and talking to the Lord, and I already know what God's going to do, and I want Him to do even more in me. You're crazy. You're nuts.
Don't you know what's happening out there? Don't you know that this is happening? Don't you know that's happening? Don't you know what's happening in your family?
I know what's happening, but God knows what's happening too, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right when we let God fill us. God, fill us. You see, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, being emptied out and given unto the Lord, it's not like turning over a new leaf, because it's still a leaf. But what it's like is that leaf getting connected back to the branch, and that branch giving it the water that it needs, and it grows. We grow. And my friend, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God does that. So, number four, water pots that are drawn from. We can be water pots that are drawn from. Six old water pots. Verse 8 of our passage of Scripture in John 2. And He saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. You know, God wants to use you and all that He has put into you. He wants to use you. When does He want to use you? He says unto the servants, draw out now. God wants to use you now. He did want to use you yesterday, but we can't go back to yesterday. He did want to use you several years ago, but we can't go back to several years ago. God wants to use you now. God wants to use you now. He said, well, I'm going to wait until another day. Well, God's going to want to use you another day too, but God wants to use you now. The servants, Jesus said, do it now. Imagine the servants turning now to Jesus after filling the pots up and turning to Jesus. You're nuts. You're crazy. You know, what do you think you're doing? You just put water in there. You want us to go out there to the feast now and you want us to give them water? Oh, I can't believe they did. No, they didn't say a thing. They didn't say a thing. Jesus said, go now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear. They went. They went then. You know, God has invested in us. God has invested in us great preaching. Do you agree? God has invested in us great teaching. He's invested in us great singing. The message of song. He's invested in us with a good church family that we're connected with. He's invested into us. He's poured into us. And now He's saying, go now and bear it. Get it out. Go do it. As a parent, as a father, and training my kids, as you as parents, having trained your kids, you give to them and you not only feed them, you clothe them, but you do more than just the basics. You teach them. You train them. For us, it was yes, ma'am. It was yes, sir. It was no, ma'am. It was no, sir. It was honor those over you. Honor the elders. Honor folks around you. Having some decency about you. Watch your tongue. Watch what you say. Watch what you see. Watch what you hear. Watch what you have. We're teaching, we're training, we're working with our children as you've worked with your children to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we with the Lord are giving them and investing in them and pouring in them and even funding for them for school and education for future, for them to go and to do. And at a certain point, it's time to say, now, go do it. Now go do it. And God has given it unto us. And when does He want us to draw from? He wants us to do it now.
Well, I got to have a purpose. You have one. We even give you an extra one. Campaign starts now. White, red, blue. Go ask somebody to come to church. It's easy, but you have to draw out to do that. Go a little step further and really help them to come. Draw a little bit further. Someone that may have a need, draw a little bit further. Draw out of you and just give. Well, if I keep doing that, then I'm going to drain out because I'm just keep giving and giving. Oh, no, my friend. Jesus never runs out. He keeps giving and giving and giving and giving. We saw that the drawing out. Well, how can you run out of something that you didn't even put in? Jesus put it all in there for us to draw out. So what do we see happen when they drew out? When they drew out, the water turned into wine. Not just any wine, but the best wine. The best wine. The freshest wine. The wine that we have, that we do for our communion time. Grape juice. The fresh wine. And that grape juice, as we see, is always that representation of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There in that upper room, Mark chapter 14, 23, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." Was the grape juice blood itself? It is not. Does today, as some teach and believe, it turns into Jesus' blood once it gets into you? No, it does not. It's grape juice. But it is a picture of that blood that was shed for you and for me. And here, as they were thinking, all I have inside this pot here is just water. The servants went and they poured out the water and out came the grape juice. Can I tell you something? You may think that you don't have much to give, but every little bit that you give, Jesus said, if you give out a cold drink unto a child in my name, it's as if you've given it done unto me. And Jesus says, we are gathering together and in faith, and we may just have just water. But when we pour it out for Jesus, it turns into him. It turns into Jesus. So it's never going to run out. It's never going to draw out. Keep drawing. Drawing from Jesus. Draw out from him. He gives it to us. Because his love is deeper. His love is fuller. His love is sweeter. So my last point here. Water pots that give glory. Water pots that give glory. So back to John chapter 2. I've had you in different places. John chapter 2, verse number 8. Let's get back to the wedding, shall we? Let's get back to the wedding. Let's get back to the festivities. The family's all there. They're all frantic. We have nothing to give. And this whole wedding thing's just going to be a complete bust. The bride is crying. She's in a corner. What are we going to do? This is just awful. And the bridegroom said, honey, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And oh, what are we going to do? And the servants are there with water. What is it going to be like? But Mary knows. And the servants obeyed. Verse number 8, and he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bared. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was. See, he wasn't in on it. That's what you do. You keep things close. But the servants knew. The servants which drew the water knew. We know that it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. This world doesn't know. They just see Jesus. And so the servants come, they knew. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. Hey, bridegroom. And he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, and that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. It changed everything, did it not? So verse number 11 kind of kicks off from that miracle. And verse number 11 says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. Manifest his glory.
So as pots, this miracle that was done through six old pots. Six old pots that were just sitting in a corner. Six old pots that just needed a filling. Six old pots that were used and dipped out of. Six old pots that one thing was given, but it was received of Christ. And who got the praise for that? The servants? No. Jesus did. The servants knew. The servants knew exactly what was going on. Jesus got the praise. And when Jesus is given the glory, people believed on him. The disciples saw it. They're like, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. When people see Jesus in us and people see Jesus doing things and we tell others about the goodness of God, the greatness of God as we're pouring out unto him, it's not about us. It's not about Maranatha Baptist Church. It's about glory unto Jesus. It's all about him. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Turn over to Psalms, and I finish with this last passage. Psalms 57, verse number 7. Psalm 7, verse number 7. As a pot, I have a purpose, and of my purpose as a water pot is to carry the water of Jesus to give out those to the thirsty folks around me and helping in the realm of purification and helping the realm of meeting a need. And as it goes, as a cold drink of water, Jesus is glorified. Hear the psalmist in Psalm 57, verse number 7. My heart is fixed. Oh, may our hearts be fixed as a vessel for God. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. I think we need to read that again and again and again and again. Make a big old mural of it, post it on the wall, and give glory unto the Lord, for he is worthy, he is worthy, he is worthy. It's the least we can do in giving him honor and glory. Because I'm just an old pot, an old water pot sitting in a corner. And you are just an old water pot sitting in a corner that God has touched, he has cleansed, he has a purpose. Because we as these water pots are set apart, we need to be emptied so that God can fill us, so that we can draw out for his glory. So with our heads bowed and eyes closed, where are you tonight? What is in your water pot? Would you say your water pot is filled with the glory of the Lord? It's something to work on. Is there something in there you're harboring, some sin of life that you have not confessed and gotten right? That's dirt that needs to be dealt with. Maybe you've said an unkind word. You've had an unkind attitude. Maybe just having no attitude at all for the things of God. This is dirt. This is sin. And this is what God wants us to get out. And at the end of every church service is that invitation for you to talk to God and doing business with God just to clean out that old water pot one more time so God can fill you. And may every Christian have that desire burning within to be filled by the Holy Spirit of God. So then to be used now for God. For God's honor and glory. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you use this invitation.
May our feet move to an old-fashioned altar to do business tonight for you. Lord, we love you, and we do want to serve you. And so help us tonight with the truths from the Scripture to be better, to be cleaner, to be fuller for you. God is dear Lord, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.